We're going to read from 2 Kings chapter 6, just a few verses. 2 Kings chapter 6, reading at verse number 8. And we'll read down to the end of verse number 18. 2 Kings chapter 6, reading at verse number 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the testimony we have heard of the saving grace of the Lord our God. And we bless you, O God, that salvation is real, that Christ is real. The eternal issues revealed in thy word are real. And Father, we thank thee for the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. We ask, O Lord, now to bless us as we meditate upon this portion of thy word. And especially, Father, we pray for our young people, that they may learn the lesson of this young man. And Father, we pray that even from this service tonight, as some would dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord Jesus. Hear this, our prayer. Bless us now and refresh our souls, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this morning's message, Dr. Saunders brought a word about following the Lord and told us how Israel followed the pillar of cloud and fire, and that the Lord would deal with the enemies. And he had that powerful request to God, "Rise up and deliver us from our enemies." Tonight I have, not knowing what he was going to be preaching about, and he didn't know what I was preaching about, but tonight we have a complimentary message to encourage God's people when surrounded by the enemy. Now we have read here of the attacks of the Syrians on Israel and how the Lord gave a great victory. And you and I, we can learn much from this story that occurred about 2,900 years ago. The first thing I want to look at, the attack of the enemy. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, quickly forgot God's intervention in the case of Naaman. And instead of remembering that, he rewarded the kindness of the king of Israel and Elisha. He rewarded it with hostility. And there is a lesson to us all there, and that is that the devil never gives up. The enemy of God's people will not give up until the day the Lord finally puts him into the caverns of the damned. But until then, he's going to fight against us. We have all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of sorrows in this world. And behind that, of course, is the arch enemy of souls, the devil himself. So if you think that you get victory over the devil and that's it finished, forget it, because like the Syrians, they came wave after wave into the children of Israel and gave them severe trouble. Now, Ben-Hadad had a plan, and that plan was to ambush Jehoram, the king of Israel. Now, Jehoram was not a good man. The Bible tells us clearly that he was an evil man. But Elisha was concerned about the state of the nation of Israel, and so he warned the king not to go to a particular place because of the danger. And it was Ben-Hadad's desire to set an ambush so that when Jehoram and his people were going up through this valley, he would set upon them and they would be defeated. So it wasn't a major offensive. Now remember also in our lives, we face a wily foe in the devil. And as the Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And he loved to destroy every child of God. He fights against us. If you want to know there's a devil, just become a follower of the Lord Jesus and you'll realize the devil's a problem. You see, when you're in his camp, he doesn't have to worry about you. He's got you. But once you leave his camp by the grace of God and follow the Lord, you can be sure the devil is going to give you a hard time. But the Lord warned Peter that he would try to sift him, but the Lord said, I have prayed for you. And if the Lord prays for us, we don't need to worry too much about the God of this world. Now, this was not a major offensive. He wasn't going to mount an army of 100,000 troops and come down. But the devil is a master at using different tactics. Sometimes in the Bible you read of him as the roaring lion coming out roaring and obvious in his attack. At other times we're told it is like the angel of light. He comes quietly. He would try to ambush the children of the Lord. But again, the Bible tells us we are not ignorant of his devices. And so as believers, we need to watch what the devil's doing, keep our eye upon him, and realize that some of the things he wants us to do, they are but his temptations, and he wants to pull us down. Now, Ben-Hadad had a problem, and that problem was that whenever he planned to take his men down for this ambush, somehow the Israelites discovered and knew about it. And so he felt that within his own council, there was somebody there who was a traitor and who was telling Elisha and telling the king of Israel about what was going on. But one man in verse number 12, he answered and says, nobody's a traitor, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. I think that's really wonderful. You see old Ben-Hadad up there plotting and planning his attack, and here Elisha marvelously and supernaturally is listening to the very plans of Ben-Hadad and is able to give them to Jehoram so that the children of Israel may take defensive action against them. This boy had a real problem. Now when he heard about Elisha, and already he knew about Elisha because of Naaman, but he heard again about him. He said, told his men, go and get him. And they said, well, he's in Dothan, a small town. He's in Dothan. And so he now mounts a major attack. You see, earlier on it was just a sort of an ambush. But now we're told that he comes to Dothan with a great host, or on the margin, a heavy host. So here's a great number of people coming and a great number of soldiers, and they're coming to destroy Dothan and to take Elisha either captive or to kill him. And then we discover that Elisha's servant, he was terrified. Now that was not Gehazi. Gehazi was there in earlier, and he sinned by looking and putting money before the service of the Lord, and so he was smitten with leprosy himself. That's not, this one here is not Gehazi. It's a new servant that Elisha has who's ministering to him and looking after his needs. So he gets up in the morning, goes outside, looks over the wall of Dothan, and sees the place covered with Syrian soldiers and horses and chariots. And he is scared stiff. He's terrified. And he goes back to Elisha and says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Because, you see, he could see the problem. He could see the danger, but he could not see the deliverance at that particular time. So he was there, and Elisha's servant, the young man, was terrified. Now, in our lives, you can be sure that there are times that the devil encamps round about you, and he wants to frighten you, and he wants to scare you, and he wants to get you away from your steadfastness, if you can, if he can. But my friend, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices, but rather, by the grace of God, get a victory for him. So the enemy attacks. The next thing is that the prophet prays. Elisha was called of God in a wonderful manner. He was empowered by God in answer to his own prayer that the Lord had given him a double portion of the Spirit. Why did he need a double portion? He looked at his predecessor, Elijah, and said, if Elijah is able to do what he did with a certain filling of the Holy Spirit, for me to do the same work, I would need to have twice that. And so he realized in humility his need, and so he prayed for the double portion. And God answered that, because you studied the life of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha, he conducted double the number of miracles that Elisha did. And if you look through them, you'll find them. The last one is when a dead man was put into the cave where Elisha was buried, and there the dead man was raised to life again. So he got the double portion of the Spirit. And God, he blesses his servants with wisdom, discernment to understand the spiritual realities. In our day, I fear that many people who profess to be Christians do not have very much wisdom, do not have very much discernment. When we were down in Florida, we watched some of the TV preachers, and I tell you, how people send money to those people is beyond me, because a lot of them are obviously charlatans. But the people who profess to be believers have no discernment to understand, and so it's a serious matter. But Elisha was empowered by God, and he was blessed by God with wisdom and discernment, and he was called the man of God. You'll see three times in the chapter, Elisha is called the man of God. What a blessing that must have been for Elisha to be known as the man of God. What a blessing it would be for you and me if we were known as men and women of God. It is a blessing indeed to be identified with the Lord. And what an aspiration it is that we should be praying, Lord, make me to be a man of God, or make me to be a woman of God, as the case may be. Now, the Lord gave a revelation to Elisha of what was going on in the camp of the Syrians. I remember some years ago going to the U.S. Capitol building and having a tour around the Capitol building. And under the great dome there is a room where the politicians used to meet, Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side. And there's a problem, because when the Republicans were in power, they would sit in this place here, and then over here the Democrats would sit, and they're over here working out strategy and talking among themselves. And over there, the Democrats, they could hear perfectly what was going on. It was an acoustical thing that the sound would go up to the dome and would come back down again, so that people over there could hear even whispers that were said over here. And the same thing happened when the Democrats were over here, the Republicans, they could hear over there. And so you got something like that here, that Elisha was able to hear and to know what was going on in the very palace, or as the man says here, in the very bedchamber of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. So the Lord gave to him this revelation, and he warned the ungodly Jehoram, and we can learn from that too, that we are responsible to pray for the rulers in our country. Now, Jehoram was not a godly man. We're told that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Yet, for the good of the country, Elisha would pray, Elisha would take action. And likewise, we're told in the Bible that we are to pray for those that are in authority. And sometimes we have people in authority that we don't have very much confidence in, yet we are to pray for them that the Lord would make this country such as the gospel may be able to continue going forth. So Elisha came and sent message really to King Jehoram, and he said to him, "Don't go that way, because down that way, the king of Syria is assembling his army and is going to get you. Don't go that way." And the call in our day to the child of God and the preacher is to tell people, here is the way you go. God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. But at the same time, we have to tell people, don't go that way. Now, I'm sure Jehoram wondered, who does Elisha think he is? Telling me, I'm the king. I'm the king of Israel. How dare he tell me what to do? But he did check out, because he sent men along to look and discovered that what Elisha said was right. And so we are to remember these things and to listen and not to go the wrong way, but to go the right way as led by the Lord. And ungodly Jehoram will say this for him. He did obey the command and the warning of God's servant. And then he came, Elisha came, and he gave to that young man tremendous encouragement. Verse 16, that he was all concerned. He said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And Elisha said to him, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I can see that young man standing there looking out, and he could see with his natural eyes the armies of the Syrians. And Elisha telling him that there's more with us, and he would look round and he'd see the small number of soldiers in the garrison in Dothan, see the small number of people. How can we possibly defeat them? And sometimes in our day, we get so downcast and discouraged by the enemy and by the attacks of the wicked one that we cry out, "Alas, Master, how shall we do?" Because we forget that there are more with us than there are with them. And that's the message that we need to get today, is that there the Lord, he is there to help his people. So the servant, he could see the danger, but he couldn't see the deliverance, and that's why he needed to have his eyes opened, and we need to have our eyes opened, because we get distressed when our eyes are closed. We can see the devil, we can see his problem, but our faith is weak. Now, Elisha prayed in verse number 17. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And if you remember nothing tonight, remember those three words, open his eyes, or if you like, open her eyes, as the case may be. That was a good prayer that he prayed, and it's a good prayer for us to pray, especially for our young people growing up in this wicked, wicked world of declension. So the enemy attacks, the prophet prays, and then the servant sees. Now, there's a miracle here, because there were horses and chariots, hundreds of them, from the Syrian army outside the wall of Dothan, and they were there. But there's other horses and chariots there. The young man, he saw the Syrians, but he didn't see the other horses and chariots that were there, And so that's why Elisha prayed, open his eyes that he may see. Now we need to remember as believers that there are angelic hosts sent by God to help us, and they're there. I saw an interesting bumper sticker there a couple of days ago that says, don't drive faster than your guardian angel. And they were making a sort of a joke of it, but it's not a joke because we do have guardian angels. And you turn over there to Psalm number 91 and verse number 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And so when you go into the aeroplane, you're terrified about flying. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. When you find yourself in situations where you're frightened, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So there are angelic helps for us. And again, you have that great one in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So may we develop in our hearts and minds an optimistic view, because there are too many believers today, they're pessimistic, everything is wrong. Alas, Master, how shall we do? And the trouble is their eyes are shut and they can't see the force and the power of Almighty God. May God open our eyes to realize that there are helpers there for us. You see, if the Queen is going down Pall Mall, as they call it over there in London, you find that she goes down in her car, Rolls Royce, whatever it is, and she has outriders. And those motorcycle outriders go down there and they guard her and they guide her and so on. I'm driving along in the car and I think, well, Lord, I can't see them, but the angels are there guarding us. Now, some people say that there are some people whose driving causes the guardian angel a lot more work than others, and that's probably true from some of the drivers that I have seen, and perhaps I would be guilty myself at times, but we need to have our eyes open. You see, when Samson's eyes were open, he was a hero. But when his eyes were shut, he was a complete disaster. He was a sorry spectacle for the enemy. May God open our eyes to behold the fight that the Lord is there. Now, I want to close off with a word, especially to our young people. I'm thinking particularly of those who are in the middle teens upwards and up to, I guess, I was talking this morning about Paul when he was a young man standing there watching the clothes of those people who stoned Stephen. He says, a young man can be anything from about 15 years of age up to 30. Once you get to 30, you're in the middle age. But in there, those are the young people I want to speak to for a moment or two. This servant of Elisha was a young man. And that young man needed to have his eyes opened, and so Elisha prayed for him. And those of us who are older, we should not forget to pray for our young people as they rise up in this world and they face the attacks of the sort of Syrian army round about trying to frighten us and to hinder us from doing the work of the Lord. Young men and young women need to have their eyes open, first of all, to the power of God. You see, this young man here, he was concerned about the Syrian army. And what are we going to do? We're going to be defeated. We're going to be destroyed. But he had no idea of the army that was circling that city of Dothan that were there unseen. And so he needed his eyes open to behold the power of God. And the older people among us, we have served the Lord for many years, and we've had experiences, and we've seen the Lord moving. Now, when we came here at first in 1976, we had nothing. And I remember 1976, wondering, Lord, what are we going to do? All the enemies surrounding us and against us. But the Lord has done wonderful things for us here, and we have seen the power of God. And Elisha had seen the power of God earlier. And no doubt he told this young man about God and his works and his victories. But you see, the young man would have to experience for himself. And we can tell you about the early days of our church. We can tell you about the blessings of the Lord. We can tell you about the growth and the revival times and so on. We can tell you all about that. But young person, you need to prove the power of God, not in the words of somebody who's telling you it, but rather from the Lord himself. You need to tap the power of Almighty God. This young man had to see for himself. And every one of us need to see the Lord's power for ourselves. Need to have the eyes open also to be aware of the presence of God. You see, unseen at that city of Dothan were all those angelic helpers and so on, and the Lord was overruling and overseeing the whole thing. And young people, don't come to the place where religion is just an add-on to give you an air of respectability. But your religion and your faith in the Lord Jesus should be an integral part of your life. And young people, you have to prove the presence of God in your life and see how the Lord will lead and direct you in his way. Also, you need to have your eyes open to the providence of God. The word providence, the word provide, God provides for us in wonderful ways. You've got to ask yourself some questions. Why am I alive on this world today? Why did God bring me into this world? You need to answer that question. You need to begin to think about, why did God bring me into the family that I am in? Because you could have been born in somebody else's family. You're born in the particular family. Why are you there? Why are you living the life that you now have? Answer that question before God. Why are you here and what are you doing with your life? And you have to realize that God has you in that family and in this congregation for a reason. And you've got to find out that reason on your knees before Almighty God and ask him regarding the providence. Then you need to have your eyes open to the purpose of God and ask the question, Lord, why have you brought me here and placed me here? And the answer will come, because, young person, I have work for you to do. This young man had work to do in ministering to Elisha and to others. God has a job for every young person who knows him here, and that work could be secular. It could be spiritual. It could be that you're called into the ministry. It could be you're called to the mission field. It could be you're called to a Christian education. But God has a purpose for you. And then you need to have your eyes opened for the plan of God. Lord, what is the plan that you have for my life? Am I fulfilling it? Am I within it right now at this moment in time? We have been just starting the study of Paul in the New Testament. What a tremendous study it is. And when Paul, Saul, the persecutor, met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he had two questions. And the first question was, who art thou, Lord? As the light shone down from heaven, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus answered, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest. So the first answer, first question was, who art thou, Lord? And then when he knew who he was talking to and had come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the second question comes, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Me personally, not the other disciples, not the other people in Damascus or in Antioch or in Jerusalem. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And young person, the first question you have to ask is, Who art thou, Lord? And once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior, as testified by Brother John, once you've come to Him as Savior, then the next question has to follow, and that is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you pray, and the Lord, He will guide you, and He will direct. It's been a blessing to my own soul down through the years that from this congregation, a number of young men and women have gone into full-time service, some as pastors and some as teachers in our Christian school. Right now, we have a need. We have a need for a number of young men, especially. We have a meeting on Friday night, the Good News Bible Club. And there, that little meeting is growing and growing as we're getting children from the area in and having the opportunity of ministering to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's mostly for children up to about 12 years of age. But then, when they get beyond 12, they want to still come. So we've got to make a division because of the way you need to present the word to them. So the older ones, and we have a number of them, who are 12, 13, 14, and 15. And we need young men. Young men who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and who are willing to serve the Lord. We need them to volunteer on a Friday night, not necessarily every Friday night, but to come along and volunteer and say, how can I help? Because what an opportunity we have of reaching these young people and through them, reaching their parents who in many cases have no interest in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very small work, not very much to do. It's just a small little thing. But you should be prepared to start at the beginning. There's some people I've discovered, and they want to start at the top. They want to start with the church all finished, and they can come in and take over. But the Lord's looking for pioneers. The disciples, they started in Jerusalem. They were faithful in Jerusalem. Then when they did that, the Lord opened up Judea. And then when they were faithful in Judea, He opened up Samaria. And when they were faithful in Samaria, He opened up the ends of the earth. And young people, you start off small with the Lord and be faithful in the simple job, like looking after a few young fellows and giving them some guidance. You start there, faithful there, then the Lord will open doors and you never know what's going to happen. This young man, I would like to have been there on the moment that the Lord opened his eyes, because he was terrified, scared out of his wits by this army, thinking this is the end, we're going to be killed, and he was scared out of his wits. And then the Lord opens his eyes and he sees the horses and the chariots of the army of heaven. And I'm sure that if there was such a word in Hebrew, that he would have just said, wow, look at that. And young people, what a blessing it is when you come and you see what God does. But your life, you stand back and say, wow, that was not because of me, that was because of the power of the Lord our God. Young people, I want you to think very seriously about your future. Now, you already have prayed, who art thou, Lord? You know the Lord. But that second prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It may be it leads you into secular employment. He does that. Maybe it leads you into a spiritual employment. He does that too. But the important thing is to be right in the very center of the will of the Lord, because there is joy in serving Jesus. The very second of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. And believers are to be joyful in the Lord. And if they can't be joyful, who can be joyful in the world? There is joy in serving Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for the challenge of it. And we pray, our Father, that Thou would bless Thy Word, Lord, for those who are concerned and frightened by this present world and the attacks of the wicked one, oh God, we pray that they may resist the devil, because thou hast told us, resist him and he shall flee from thee. And Father, we pray especially for our young people. Oh God, may they not just go on through life in the early days, not knowing where they're going or what they're going to do. Oh God, we pray that each one of them will settle before God, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And we pray that thou would lead them into the center of thy will. Hear this, our prayer, and bless us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.